My Place. Written by Sally Morgan and read by Melody Reynolds. I led the way into our lounge room, where my brothers and sisters were waiting quietly. I halted abruptly when Mum shrieked, "Oh my God!" Somehow, Curly had freed himself and, with unparalleled speed, he zapped out of the bedroom, down the hall and up between our guests' half-open legs. Our visitor, who was only a short man, leapt to his tiptoes and clutched the wall behind him. Mum, her fingers desperately digging into Curly's matted fur, yelled, "Down, Curly, down!" All to no avail. He was abnormally strong for a small dog. "Hey, hey, hey!" our victim spluttered as he leapt repeatedly in the air in the response to Curly's probing nose. "You disgusting dog! You're just disgusting!" Mum scolded as, with one final heave, she tore him away and tucked him firmly under her arm. "I don't know what's got into him," she said unconvincingly. "He's normally such a good dog. He's never done anything like this before. I'm so terribly sorry." Still apologising, Mum lugged Curly out through the kitchen and onto the back veranda. To his credit, our legatee, having straightened his clothes and regained some of his composure, struggled on. Following me into our lounge room, he solemnly introduced himself to my brothers and sisters, who had hurriedly reseated themselves. Then, with a shaky sigh of relief, he carefully lowered himself into our battered green lounge. "And how are you doing at school, Jill?" he inquired politely, turning slightly in his chair. A flatulent noise followed. Jill managed to stammer, "Oh, fine, good." It would have been less embarrassing if our legatee had been able to control his nervousness and sit still. Each of his movements, however slight, were accompanied by flatulent noises of varying pitch. It was one of the hazards of sitting on our vinyl lounge. We had all complained to Mum about the lounge before, but now, following Curly's attack, the noises seemed peculiarly appropriate. Our guests' plucky attempts at conversation met with little response. We were all desperately trying to control the laughter that threatened to bubble forth whenever we opened our mouths. When Mum finally returned, she could see things weren't going too well, and it took only a few minutes for her to realise why. 4 brief sentences, and she excused herself on the pretext of making a cup of tea. If she'd stayed any longer, she would have broken her own code of etiquette and burst into a fit of giggles. 15 minutes later, she calmly returned with a tray laden with hot cups of tea and a plate of mixed biscuits. Placing the tray on the wrought iron table she'd bought at the school fete, she said warmly, "Would you like a biscuit with your cup of tea?" Thankful for the diversion, our guest responded eagerly with, "Ah, yes, Mrs. Milroy, thank you." And rising very, very slowly from his chair, he bent down to retrieve a ginger nut. Suddenly there was chaos. Curly had slipped unseen through the doorway and struck again. Ginger nuts, milk desserts and chocolate-sliced biscuits scattered themselves all over the floor. The hot tea from the upturned cups and saucers splashed downwards, slowly melting the chocolate-sliced biscuits and staining Mum's floor rug. Mum leapt over the table shouting, "Ah, Curly, you bloody stupid dog, stop it!" Our legatee was virtually helpless. He was pinned between the table and his seat by Curly sniffing as though his life depended on it. The very act of straightening up caused buttocks to come together, giving Curly's persistent black nose added advantage. The thought of sitting quickly down was too horrible to contemplate. By the time Curly was finally removed, his little furry chest was heaving spasmodically, as it did during one of his asthma attacks. Mum tucked him under one arm and admonished, "You're an animal, Curly, just an animal." She had a habit of stating the obvious. Much to Curly's disappointment, the gentleman never returned. A few weeks later, we were informed that we had been appointed another legatee. Whether he'd heard about Curly from his predecessor, I don't know, but he rarely visited, preferring instead to communicate by telephone or letter.